Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51. Tonight's message is for me. And if you would like to partake in eating it, I invite you. Talk about renewing. Just one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about this. Psalm 51, verse 10. And it simply says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity on a cold night to come and assemble together. And thank you for this building that you've erected for the body of Christ to assemble in. And we don't take that lightly, but we come with open Bibles and open hearts and open ears, wanting to hear from you, wanting to be at the next level, the next step that you have for us in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what comes to mind when you hear the word renew? Sometimes I go out to my mailbox, and as I'm doing the slow walk in, going through the mail, you've done it, and you're going through it, seeing what's there, see if there's any good news. Of course, there's always some bills in there. I just toss those in the neighbor's yard. But you're going through, and then every now and then you'll have something that says renew on it. That subscription that you signed up for, they're asking for it to be renewed. Or the one that you let lapse 5 years ago, and they're now contacting you to see if you have gained a new interest in what they're offering. And they would like you to renew your subscription. We renew prescriptions when we have to have more of the meds. We renew our driver's license every now and then. It's always a joy getting your photo taken for your driver's license. Not many people walk around showing off that photo. Clearly, the DMV only hires the best photographers. Athletes renew their contracts. I did a quick search for athletes' contracts, and I got a list of the top 100. Did you know that all 100 had nine figures? I want to be on that list. Now, that is a contract we would be worth, or we would like to have renewed, be interested in that. All of these focus on the wrong person, though. They focus on us. God is so much more interested in that, or than that. He is interested in our well-being, but he's more interested in what we were created for, and that is to serve him. What God deserves to have is found inside of us, our heart. And every now and then, our heart needs to be renewed. I sometimes find myself a little jaded. And I stop and I say, I think to myself, never out loud, but to myself, where did that come from? I need to be renewed every now and then. God deserves our best. Nothing in our life truly changes until our heart changes. We have some strong wills in this room. Look at your wife, ask her if that's true, and she'll say yes. We have some very strong wills, and our will can accomplish a lot. But our will only accomplish so much if our heart is not changed. If our heart is changed, then that change will last longer. If it's just purely our will deciding, I am going to do this without a change of heart, it does not last real long. The heart of the problem is always the problem of the heart. If you're ever wondering, and as you inventory your life, or something you do or think or say stops you in your tracks and makes you think, wow. Now, what's the heart of that problem? I could tell you what it is. Your heart is the problem. And every now and then, our heart needs to be renewed. Proverbs chapter 4, 23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence. It's not make sure your heart is okay and then go on, but it's an active keep making sure with all diligence that your heart is right. But the proverb goes on. It doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, because all of the issues of life come out of it. So the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And here we read Psalm 51. If you go to the top of the psalm in your Bible, it gives you the context that this is written in. A very low point in David's life. David came to a point and he realized, I need to renew my spirit. But he needed to renew it again. It's something we have to do over and over. God does not give us a punch card. And whenever we want to be renewed, we go to him or go to church, we get that punched, and then we're renewed. But there's only a limited amount of times that you can use on that punch card. And when that's up, too bad you're done. Trish and I are suckers for punch cards at restaurants, Starbucks. If you give us a punch card and you tell us you get 6 punches and the next one's free, for the next 6 days we'll be there. But God doesn't say, you know what? Okay, you got too many renewal punches. No more for you. God is always open for us to be renewed in him. But at the same time, it's not a matter of going to God and him saying, okay, you're good for a year until you need to be renewed. If only it was that easy. Once a year around revival time, come forward, get renewed in your heart, get a renewed spirit, and then you're good for a year. There have been times where I have gotten something right, and then the very next day, bam. And I think, how in the world? But you know what? God is there to renew. You're not limited. And David is at a low point. And he comes to God and he says, my spirit, it needs renewing. And like I said earlier, I find myself with a jaded spirit. And I hear a call from God saying, that needs to be renewed. That needs to be tended to. Do not let that go. But look at verse 10 again. Before renewing takes place, something else has to happen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Prior to a renewing, there has got to be a restoring. There has got to be a time where we come to God and we say, God, my heart, it needs to be clean. Since the fall, creation has been broken and nothing really runs the way it was originally intended to run. These bodies don't run like God intended them to run because of the fall. Mankind does not interact with one another like they really should because of the fall. And we are in that environment. That's the context of our life. Just last week, we heard about a celebrity news anchor who had a lie and repeated that lie many times until caught. But even though he was called on it earlier, before it became exposed to the whole world, he was called on it, but yet he continued to tell that same lie. And yet, we're trained that when there is a celebrity, there's something about that, or the average person seems to trust a celebrity. When they speak, it must be true. Look at it this way. You have a man that's an actor playing a doctor on a television show. There's a pharmaceutical company that wants to sell their product. So who do they hire to be the face? The actor of the doctor. Why? Because we're trained to trust celebrity. And this man lied and lied, and we hear that and we think, my. If you were to go to Harvard University, right in front of Founders Hall is a statue. On that is seated John Harvard. There's an inscription, hard to see, but there's an inscription on the base that says this in three separate lines. John Harvard, founder, 1638. But yet, upon closer inspection of true history, we find that it's the Massachusetts Bay Colony that actually founded Harvard. And years later, John Harvard donated money and donated his library to the university, and then they named it after him. And it wasn't founded in 1638, it was actually founded in 1636. And upon closer inspection, the man we see there is not John Harvard. There were no pictures or images of John Harvard. And so when they commissioned Daniel French, the sculptor, to come and fashion that, he grabbed a random student, dressed him in that garb, and had him sit while he went ahead and did what he needed to do to make the sculpture. Matter of fact, they call that, which you see right there, the three lies. Harvard has a motto, and it's Veritas. You know what that means? Some do. Truth. Truth. Founders Hall. John Harvard. None of it's true. We hear blatant untruths, and it causes us in some way to go ahead and suspect everything that we hear. I don't know if I want to believe that, because I'm not sure it's true. And I could understand we have to be careful in being real trusting. I get that. But when that becomes our spirit, where we are guarded in every facet, where we're suspect to believe, we have to be careful that that doesn't bleed over into our spiritual life, especially when it comes to the Bible or when it comes to preaching behind this pulpit. We could begin to think that speaking truth is not the virtue it once was. The world needs to hear truthful Christians speaking truth. If the world hears a Christian speaking untruth, no matter what it might be, whether it's something that was hidden within the contract and we were quiet about, or we just went ahead and misrepresented, or a lie about where we were there, where they were, and those around us, the world hears us lie, and then the day comes and the opportunity is open, where there's a death in their family and we want to minister to them and we present them with the gospel. Are they going to believe the truth from a Christian that they know has been untruthful? Maybe not. Christians need to speak truth. And I just don't mean that means they don't speak untruths. Speaking truth goes much further, and speaking truth includes speaking the gospel. We need to speak this truth. Speak the gospel. You know what the gospel means? It means good news. I learned this week. It actually comes from, the word gospel comes from the Greek word evangelion. We get our word evangelize. Do you know when the Greeks mostly used that word? After a victory, they would come back home and they would say, good news, evangelion. What that means is, we went, we fought, we conquered the enemy, we are the victors. Good news. What a perfect fit for the gospel. The good news, we are bringing that, but are we speaking truth? If redemption is about becoming a Christian, then restoration is about being a Christian. I believe most of us went back, we could go back in our minds to that day where there was redemption for us. But being a Christian sometimes takes restoration. And we have to go and we need to say, God, Just like David does in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. Step one, God creates. It just doesn't say make my heart clean, but it uses the word create. Creation is making something out of nothing. If God's going to create, or if anything's going to be created, it's going to have to be God. There is no good all by itself in our heart. It takes God to create that clean heart. Now, we can, in our own, with a stubborn will, not go to God and not say, I'm not ready to confess, I'm going to try to fix this on my own. We cannot do the act of creation. We are trying to, in our own, restore something that only God Himself can restore. Jeremiah reminds us that the heart is deceitfully wicked, and it's wicked, and no one can really know it. And after David asked God, he said, create in me a clean heart. It's then that he gets to that next part. Renew my spirit. If we ever identify in our life, we need renewing. Before renewing happens, we have to have restoration with God. And we need to go to God. We say, God, I need to restore some things with you. I need to restore my relationship with you. These things are not right. And once that happens, then our spirit gets refreshed. Who does not like to be refreshed? Who doesn't like to be renewed? We all do. We go on vacation hoping to get renewed. If only it was that easy. There's times in the middle of the week we need to be renewed, and there's no time for vacation or to get away. How do we do that? We do that by going to God. God does not use us because of our abilities. He doesn't favor us because of our talents He has given to us. You know what He blesses? Our spirit. And my challenge to you is, how is your spirit? Does it need renewing? Renewing is the process of making something new. It also is a creative work that only God can do. And since it is something God can do, Satan has some enemies. One of them is indifference. Just not caring. Sometimes it's easier to get to a point where we don't care instead of actually fixing it. We just had a major flood over there. Major. What if we just decided to take the approach, we don't care. Just be indifferent about it. We don't need to renew that carpet or anything like that. Those walls, that's no big deal. We don't need to renew that. It would be way easier just to go up to your office and be indifferent about it. I'm on the second floor, I can say that. So much easier. But would that do any good? No. That would create more damage down the road. That would be neglecting something that needs to get fixed. George Bernard Shaw said this, "The worst sin toward our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them." What a powerful thought. Getting to the point where there is no emotion whatsoever, where you're just totally indifferent. Just don't even care. But I think an even greater enemy than indifference is lethargy. And I think maybe, I know if we were to answer some questions, we would say, no, I do care about having a renewed spirit. I do care about that. But lethargy says this, I just don't have the energy or the enthusiasm for it. Just don't have the enthusiasm. We serve in many different ways. And we receive joy when we serve. But there are times where it's difficult. And if lethargy slips in and we don't renew our hearts, the enthusiasm gets taken out. The energy gets taken out. And you say, I'm just not excited about it. I just don't have the energy to keep doing what I'm doing. That's when we need to renew our spirits. With renewal comes a renewed sense of the privilege we have in Christ. What we once viewed as mandatory Christian living all of a sudden becomes a privilege to be able to do. If I had a private conversation with you and I said, just a couple weeks back, I said, look, I was given Super Bowl tickets and I have to go. You'd look at me and say, have to go? You get to go. But yet when we view church, is it a have to or is it a get to? We get to go to church Wednesday night. Sunday night's coming. We have to get on that bus. It's cold, and I'm not taking that away from you. But we get to get on that bus. But if we get to a point where we have to, and we're lacking that enthusiasm, lacking that energy, and it's more of a mandatory grinding type of thing of serving, then we need to stop, and we need that renewing in our life. If it comes to reading our Bible, soul winning, singing in the choir, ushering, or serving in 1,000 different ways, when it comes to a point where we feel like we have to do it, that's a red flag for us to pause and stop and say, God, I need to be refreshed. Something wonderful comes with refreshing. Before refreshing, there has to be a restoring. And when God restores us back into fellowship and we get our relationship right with Him, it then comes that refreshing. And then with that refreshing comes a relating. The word relate means connected by blood or marriage. Of course, that means in a physical sense, but I think if you wanted to make an argument for the spiritual side of that, we're all related. We're related by the blood of Christ, and there is going to be a marriage one day. When God created all of us, He created us wired for relationships. That's just the way He is a triune God. He is not a God in isolation. There's three parts to Him. And the three parts of God enjoy fellowship with one another. He made us in His image, and He made us to enjoy fellowship with one another. And when that refreshing comes, a byproduct of that is we begin to relate with one another more. I don't know how long the game hide and seek has been around. I don't even know if there's written rules for it. I think it's just oral rules passed down. We've all played it. Hopefully not last week, but hopefully you've played it in your past. Do you know who played the very first game of hide and seek? Adam and Eve. They went and hid. When did they have to do that? When did they feel like they had to do that? When they sinned. And when they sinned, they wanted to get in isolation. They wanted to get all by themselves because they didn't want to relate with the Lord because they knew that fellowship was broken. But when we have restoration and we're refreshed in Him, we have new relations. Adam and Eve sought isolation. They sought protection because the transparency that once there was gone. If we can't relate to those Christians around us, then we need to be refreshed. With refreshing comes an increase in circulation. I have poor circulation in my hands. And when I shake your hands in church, you remind me of that. I say, oh, your hands are cold. And thanks for saying the whole thing about the warm heart. Obviously true, but you know. A decrease in circulation makes things cold. An increase in circulation warms things up. And when we relate with one another and we have relationships, there is a warm bond that is there. That's the way God made us. He wants us to be able to have renewing with one another and relations with one another. So comes the challenge. Keep moving together. Keep one another refreshed. And go ahead and keep relating with one another. What comes first? Restoration. And then that renewing And after we're renewed in Him, it's then that we can relate. If I get to the point where I'm just not relating with God's Word, or it doesn't seem relevant to me, if I'm sitting there and preacher's preaching is not relevant, what's the problem? It's me. If the church is no longer relevant for me, or to me, the problem is me. If I'm reading God's Word and it's not relevant, it's me. I need refreshed so then I can relate to those around me and can relate also to God.